Now, the Bible is full of testimonies from all his saints. It's also full of testimonies of man, Satan, everybody, demons. We're gonna talk about the testimonies of the saints. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I pray that you will anoint the words that you have given me, and that the persons that you want this message to go out to will hear it. They will accept it and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do for us, and I praise your holy name, Jesus. All this I ask in your precious holy name, Jesus. Amen. In Psalms 26 and 7, it says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. 119 and 172. My tongue shall speak of the word of thy words, for all thy commandments are righteous. Jesus is righteous. Jesus only looks at us because he gave himself for us. In 1 Chronicles 16 and 6, it said, give thanks unto the Lord. We are always, every single minute of every single day, supposed to be giving thanks to God, to worship him, to praise him. When we sing, it's a praise. When we pray, it's a praise to him. We have to do this every single day. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible's saying. Call upon his name, make it known, make known his deeds among the people. Has God blessed you today? He blessed me today. He let me wake up. He blessed me today. He's given me enough air or breath to bring a message to his people. God loves us all. God is going to take care of us all. We should praise him. Psalms 60 and 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. What banner is he talking about? God's holy word is the only thing I can think of. That's our banner. That's what we are supposed to be. The word just left me. That's our instruction manual for life. God is our master. We are his children. Don't ever, ever forget that. And it doesn't matter, particularly my wife back there has had some very serious illnesses in her body. But you know what? God still loves her. God's going to take care of her. And when God gets ready, she will be healed. And it's not what we want. It's what God wants. He went to the cross and bore stripes after stripes after stripes for our healing. God loves us that much that he would send his own very only begotten son to die for my sins, for your sins. Not for his. He was sinless. I thank him that he did that. That's the only, and I tell you, in all honesty, I don't believe that thanks is enough. But there's no other word that you can think of that's going to do any better than to thank the Lord your God for everything. Not just the little things, not because of healing, not because we got us a nice new big church now that we're going to fill up one of these days, because God wants us to. And God wants us in this church, and he put us in this church so we could grow. Psalms 107 and 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Did you hear that? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means, folks, that you're supposed to tell people of the testimony that you have of your Savior and why and how and when you got saved. That's what that's talking about. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of, guess who? The enemy. Who's the enemy? The enemy is anything that does not, that takes your mind and your thoughts off of Jesus Christ. Anything. And this is a hard pill to swallow, folks. Your kids are the same. Your kids. Your grandkids. As was true in the Jews, so there is not one of God, one of God's elect, who does not feel his help in their necessity. God helps us, and we don't even know it. Yes, on the big things, we know it. On the little things, the things that you and I take for granted, a lot of us, except for me and Pastor, we're having breathing problems, but God's taking care of us. And he's going to continue to take care of us. He's going to continue building Pastor's body up to where he can get back up in the pulpit. And we pray for that day. Isaiah 12 and 4, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. If that doesn't bring it home, I don't know what will, because that's right there in black and white. It says, make sure that his name is mentioned and exalted. There is nothing that should be exalted more than our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. We're to do it unceasingly. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. When I was doing this, I did a lot of research on this. I feel like that I'm lax. I really am. Even though as hard as I try, and I still feel unworthy. And I don't want to be unworthy. Because when I die, I want to stand before the throne of God and Him say, "Come in, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. I feel like that I have a long way to go. God's going to make sure that I go there. God's going to make sure, as long as I keep His word in my heart, then He is going to take care of me. This is for prophets, pastors, ministers, all of us. That just because somebody has a handle hung on their name as pastor or minister, or that doesn't mean that they're the only ones that's supposed to do anything. And that's what a whole lot of churches are believing these days. They're thinking. And this is not true for our church, but in most churches, big churches, bigger churches, they pay the pastor. Well, that's what he gets paid for. He's supposed to go out and win souls and go out and visit and do all this other stuff. You know what? I like going out visiting. I get a kick out of it, especially when I go to places like the hospitals and get down there talking to one of the other members of the church, and we're having church right there in the cafeteria, and people are just listening, and I love it. But it's not me, because if I thought it was me, God has struck me down a long time ago. It's God. It's God living in me, in my heart. And I thank Him for it. We're supposed to tell our testimonies in our homes. Mark 5:18. And when He was come into the ship, he that had been poised with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That one just don't make no sense to me. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed, that makes sense. Possessed with the devil. Uh-huh. Sorry, people. Five and 19 says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee." Who was he talking about? He was talking about the legion, whichever way you want to pronounce it, of demons that was in the man in the tombs in, I know I'm going to mess this name up, Genesaurus, is that something like that? Anyway, that's who he's talking about. Who gives us our testimony. The Holy Spirit, He touches our heart, He touches our mind, He touches our bodies. Anything that we do, if we listen to the quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit, He will tell us what we need to do. Now, before I got saved, I had that ultimate bad habit of telling people, and I've always believed in God, but I wasn't living it for a long, long time, as many people well know. But I had the bad habit of saying, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I can be a Christian just as good as you can, and I can be out on the lake fishing. Wrong. You could be, but you won't be, because that fishing is going to take more precedence over in your mind than God. So, instead of going out and mowing your lawn Sundays, come and assemble with the other saints of God. And that way, you can uplift each other. From the time you walk through that door back there, or this one over here, to the time you walk back out those doors, people in this church right here, and we're not big in numbers, but people in this church love you. This is the lovingest church that I've ever been in. And trust me, I haven't been in that many. But this is the most loving church that anybody could be affiliated with. We're to do this. We're to tell our testimony without shame, without fear. You've got a testimony. You've got a testimony. You've got a testimony. And you've got a testimony. Even you back there in Steinberg got testimony of how God has worked in your life. Everybody does. If you are a saved Christian and you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and He is your Lord, and He is your Master, and He is your Savior, you have a testimony. How do I know that? I got a big testimony. The Lord worked on me for a while before I got saved. But at 47 years old, I got saved. And for the first 47 years of my life, I was dead. Dead. Not physically, spiritually. There's a lot of people in churches today, and it's a sad thing to say, but there's a lot of people in churches today that are still spiritually dead. They think if they go every Sunday morning, sit on the front pew and praise God, and that they're going to heaven. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going nowhere but to hell. Plain and simple. That's where they're going. Anytime someone walks up to you and notices the difference in your life, and they ask you, why are you different? Because Jesus loves me. Be ready to tell your testimony. I've told my testimony in several churches. I've told it in Walmart as well, though you can't hardly do that in Walmart anymore. You have to do it in private. But people listen. You know, a lot of people will listen just because they're rebellious and don't care about what Walmart says. But people listen when you talk about Jesus Christ. And why do they listen? Because they're being touched by the Holy Spirit. They're not being touched by Steve. They're not being touched by Sharon or Diane or Mary or Pastor. They're being touched by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction upon their hearts. Psalm 66 and 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What he's done for your soul. These bodies are just here. They're just a vapor, a mist, whatever you want to call it. These bodies are not going to last. But your soul is going to. And if God takes care of your soul, if you give your heart and soul over to God, then he is going to take care of you. The body, not so much. But I tell you what, your soul, when you get to heaven, that's when God's going to say to you, come in, my good and faithful servant. I'm waiting for the day. I think it was Larry. I might have been pastor, but I think it was Larry. Asked at church one time, he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Well, every hand in the church went up. How many of you want to go now? I do. There is nothing on this earth save what Jesus wants me to finish before I die that is worth a hill of beans. The Lord is all I'm concerned with. Psalm 71 and 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days, for I know not the number thereof. We don't know when we're going to die. God does. He knows everything. And when he says Steve's number's up, I pray that I have done everything that he has asked me to do. Because if I haven't, then I have failed. I have not run the race that God set out for me. I don't want to be that. I want to finish everything he has for me to do. God's blessings, Isaiah 63 and 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Israel are God's chosen people. And all God knows that their Israel is going to be going through more stuff than most of us care to go through. But God's still looking out for them. When somebody comes upon Israel and does something, if God allows it to be done, then God wanted it to be done. But it's not going to be a complete annihilation as some believers believe. God watches out for his own. He watches out for me, and he watches out for you. Why does he do it? Because of his mercy and his loving kindness. It's nothing we've done. I sure know it ain't nothing I've done. It's everybody's duty to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's like I was saying a while ago, because a lot of these churches say, well, just because we pay the pastor, that's what he's supposed to do. No. The lay people are supposed to spread the gospel just as much as the pastor. Because when you are a saved Christian, whether you know it or not, or whether you realize it or not, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, for a long time, I didn't know what disciple meant. It simply means you're a follower. We are followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. Anything that I say up in this pulpit, and I've got 8 pages of notes here, so we're going to be here for a spell. Anything that I say in this pulpit is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Y'all think I'm smart enough to do that? No, I'm smart enough to put it on paper. But as far, I've maybe looked at 6, maybe 7 scriptures. Maybe 8, I don't know. Don't matter. Everything else I've said has come from the heart. Because the Spirit is touching me. He's anointing me to bring this word not only to the congregation here, but to the people that are listening to it on CD or on the internet or on MP3 or wherever. God is bringing this message to his people, to the people that he wants to hear. And I'm glad that I got out of it. He just took me out of it completely, and my mouth's running off from here at 90 miles an hour. But it's running off because the Lord has anointed me to say these things. And I thank him for it. I thank him for it. faith is outgrowth of the ministry of God's people. You say, well, how is that? Well, if you go out and you tell somebody, because the Holy Spirit has touched you to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and about his gospel, and somebody comes to the faith because of it, then you're a part of it. Just like Pastor was saying earlier, all this has done, you know, everything that there, like I said, we're not a big congregation inside the church right now, but the people that hear this over the internet and over MP3 is probably a whole lot more than we will ever, ever, ever know. But you know what? We're a part of it, because we are putting this on the internet. We are, people are downloading it. And because Jesus died for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, so therefore, when we get to heaven, when we're standing at that throne, he's going to say, let's see, Pastor Unger, Mary Unger, Diane West, Steve West, Brittany Rogers, Kevin Hobbs, Sharon, Katrina, Reese, every one of y'all were part of this person right here that you have no idea who it is, but you are a part of that person being saved. And you know what it's going to say? Come in. Come in to rest, my good and faithful servant. I've already went a whole lot longer than I had planned to, but I'm going to close it off here. So, in conclusion, as the fellowship of God, let each give an account of their own testimonies in the sight of God. You don't need to give your testimony in the sight of Steve or pastor or anybody else. Give it before God. He knows what it is anyway, but he wants to hear it from you. As Christians, it is not just the pastor's job to witness to the lost, but it is the duty of each and every one of us, man, woman, boy, or girl, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And the world is dying a whole lot faster than secular people want to believe. God's coming. Or Jesus is coming back soon. Heavenly Fathers, I pray this message has sparked the gospel in somebody's heart, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I thank you, Father, for the time that you have given me to bring this word, because I know that it was all from you and not from me. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus, because you are more worthy than I could ever be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.